Good morning.
We're not on yet, are we?
Huh?
No, we're not on.
No, like, we got 5, 7 minutes.
Yeah, 11:05. But yeah, that was crazy. He sent me a text. Dad! So I would say yes, son. Thank them.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. We took him out of school early.
Everyone, and thank you for being here. 2 years ago, the acting attorney general asked me to serve as special counsel, and he created the special counsel's office. The appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Now, I have not spoken publicly during our investigation. I'm speaking out today because our investigation is complete. The Attorney General has made the report on our investigation largely public. We are formally closing the special counsel's office, and as well, I'm resigning from the Department of Justice to return to private life. I'll make a few remarks about the results of our work. But beyond these few remarks, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. Let me begin where the appointment order begins, and that is interference in the 2016 presidential election. As alleged by the grand jury and an indictment, Russian intelligence officers, who were part of the Russian military, launched a concerted attack on our political system. The indictment alleges that they used sophisticated cyber techniques to hack into computers and networks used by the Clinton campaign. They stole private information and then released that information through fake online identities and through the organization WikiLeaks.
But it was true.
The releases were designed and timed to interfere with our election and to damage a presidential candidate. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. These indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or the innocence of
the allegation
specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system.
Yeah. I am here.
That is also a reason we investigated to construct the investigation. The matters we investigated were of paramount importance. It was critical for us to obtain and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs an investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of the government's
or the craft
to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable.
Craft
it. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing the special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation, and we kept the Office of the Acting Attorney General apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the President clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under the long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider. The department's explaining the policy.
Good morning.
Those points are summarized in our report. I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available.
First, the opinion explicitly,
among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from that, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is the office's final position, and we will now come.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I guess everyone that is interested in anything political is probably watching Mueller right now give his comments. It is the first time that he has spoken since the investigation publicly. And I'm going to tell you who we are. We're Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. And our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. I got Dr. Rodney Hill in studio with me. And I am telling you guys this. I love Robert Mueller because he opened his report and this is what he said. These are my comments. Read the report. It says what it says. At the end of this speech, I'm going to retire, go back to private life, and leave me alone. That's pretty much, he's been talking about 8 minutes right now, and that's a sum total of his whole conversation. Good morning, Dr. Hill. How are you?
Good morning.
Did I get that right? Isn't that what he said? He said,
guess.
I'm out.
I guess.
He said, listen, it is unconstitutional to charge a president with a federal crime. I don't think there was, but whatever it is, I can't do anything about it. This is a report. I investigated what they told me to investigate. Here it is. If you don't like it, suck eggs. Leave me alone. I'm going home to hang out with my wife and my grandkids.
And he says, now he's a private citizen.
That's what he said. Leave me alone. I'm a private citizen. I did what I was supposed to do, and just let me go.
I guess. I don't know.
What do you mean you guess? You don't know? Are you one of those people who are like every other American that you watch the news as you pass by, but you really don't make a digest of it all day long?
Well, if you're a private citizen, what does that mean?
Well, that means leave me alone.
Mm.
Don't talk about me. Leave me alone. Get off my lawn.
But does that mean also you're accessible to other forces?
No, that means I can do what I want to do. I'm no longer going to be serving at the pleasure of the president and or the attorney general. I want to go home, play with my kids. I don't want to answer any more questions. I'm not doing any more hearings. I'm not doing any more meetings. Leave me alone. That's what that means.
For now, question. Can't Congress subpoena anybody they want to subpoena?
They can subpoena him, but the question is, what he says is, if you call me back, I'm going to – there was a saying that says, you know, if you say it again, no, Putin-tang. My name is Putin-tang.
Uh-huh.
If you ask me again,
I'll tell you the same.
Call me in one more time,
uh-huh,
I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you. It's in the report. So if you want to know, if you have any answers, questions, it's in the report. So let me read this to you.
Right.
It's in the report.
Okay.
Here's the report. Read it. Here's my comments. Take it. Leave me alone. Let me go play with my grandkids.
But we'll see.
Leave me alone. I'm going home.
There was
insufficient evidence to charge on a broader conspiracy. There was no conspiracy. There was nothing else to it. This is what it is. This is my report. I did what I was supposed to do. Let me have my time with my kids.
But you know that's going to make for further news fodder.
So we're going to go four more weeks talking about what he talked about in 10 minutes.
But that's what sells in the world of...
It doesn't.
In the world of political nonsense, that's what sells.
Listen, you know what?
Understand, okay? We're here right now, so we're looking at this. But if you're the average person, you don't know this is taking place. So if you're not aware it takes place, does it matter? Did you follow that?
Say that again.
Okay. I'm here today, so I know I'm here with you, so I know this is going on.
Right.
Okay, but the typical person is not.
That is true.
So if you're not aware it's going on, did it happen? Does it matter?
Yes, it does.
No,
yes.
If you don't know, if you don't know this,
yes,
place,
yes, it does.
You don't know.
Yes, it does, because you have to understand. And this is something that is bothering me.
Go ahead.
I have become, and I use Spectrum. I think Spectrum or Time Warner has the best internet system in our area.
Okay.
And so, because there is no one else who's better, I'm held to Spectrum.
Right. Correct. Or go satellite. One or two.
But even satellite, it doesn't give me the accessibility to high speed internet, and I need that for what I do.
Okay.
So I have to use you because you have a monopoly on my area.
Right.
Because not because you can't cross lines with AT&T, but they have an unwritten agreement that we're not going to cross lines so that everybody can make money big time.
Okay.
So, you know, there's deals outside of the deals that are not written, but they're silent deals. But this is the issue. Because you have a monopoly on my internet space and my cable space and my viewing space, you limit what I can watch based on my economics.
True.
So on yesterday, I call Spectrum because I now live downtown Youngstown.
Okay.
And my business is downtown Youngstown.
Okay.
And I use my cell phone number for everything.
Okay.
So when I call Spectrum to do whatever, you know they want you to do the numbers and the passwords and the zip codes.
Right.
So I call in and they cross my business account with my residential account.
Okay.
My residential account, I don't have any. I have only MSNBC and CNN. That's all the news I have on my television outside of local.
Why?
Because I purchased a package that was supposed to be $59 for internet and cable.
Right.
But the bill came, and the bill was $90. And I'm trying to figure out how we got from 59 to 90.
You didn't read a small print?
Well, no, I did. I talked to the lady on the phone.
Okay.
So you have some kind of package.
Right.
So if you cancel that package for $130, you can have the news you want.
Okay.
Well, I went from 90 now to an additional 30. So if I go from 59, which is 60, that's another $60.
Okay.
$70.
Right.
That I cannot afford.
Okay.
So please, if I cannot afford it, and I'm a broke black woman in the world who works very, very hard, there are people in my community who are trying to, who make less than me, don't have as much access as me, who need the information.
Correct.
And they select what you get to watch.
Correct.
So if you're looking to find out what's going on in the world today in which you reside in so that you can participate in the process of the democracy of America, how are you going to get information?
Well, yeah, you understand most people get a large segment of people get information from their phone.
Again, even if it's on my phone, subliminally, you have to understand, if you walk into the store, if you're walking by a TV, if you're watching something, because even inside of what you watch on television now, there are political messages and messaging and socialized messaging that you are being adhered to that you have no idea of. We do not understand that NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is being done on us all day long. We need to recognize that we are being programmed Because remember, they've been studying the cognitive orders of our brain for a very, very long time. There is a reason why Google, the 17th employee of Google, was a neurosurgeon. And they hired him because they need to know how does the brain think, so that when you put the algorithm together, we'll be able to actually take that information and then put it into a broader spectrum and know who you are. It's called marketing.
Correct, correct.
And marketing, the premise of marketing is to get you to purchase something that you did not intend to purchase, but you're going to buy because I encourage you to do it and you think that it's your idea.
It's true, true.
If you're not mindful of that, you are being marketed to and or subliminally messaged to all day long. That's why we don't have the positive affirmations that we need for success in lower income communities.
Because we inundated with BS.
Correct. And if you don't understand that you're being BS'd, you're walking down life thinking that you're getting something done when you're not doing anything at all. That's why we are so enamored with celebrity and athletics and not education.
True.
See, we're not encouraging
brain trust. Very true.
We're not encouraging conversation. We're not encouraging, you know, taking an active part in the diplomacy and the magnitude of America. We're not talking about that.
Well, no, you know, you understand what everybody does, right?
What?
Well, coming into the building, you see people like this. Looking at their phones.
That's right.
Or got their, you know, headphones or whatever on, tuning out the world, just walking around.
That's correct. And yeah. But you're watching. So inside of your Facebook, inside of your Instagram, inside of all your social media, inside of your YouTube, inside of the movies that you watch, all across the board, now from birth, because when you look around now, we use the cell phone and the iPad as a babysitter for our children. So we no longer sit them in front of the television. But everywhere you go, whether it be in church or whether it be in the store or whether it be in a restaurant, you will see all of your kids tuning out in their own world with their – and they even get cases that they can drop them on the floor and throw them across the room and never break.
Yeah.
So that the kids can be babysat easily and tune them out while I can handle my business of the day because I'm overwhelmed as a grown-up.
That's why I carry this.
Pull it back out. Let me stand there.
You are a physician. You are a doctor.
Pull that out and show the world what you do.
I will not.
What is that?
You pay me, I will. How much you gonna pay me? How much is it worth?
Yes, I did.
How much is it worth?
I'll give you a Sharpie.
Nope. That's why I'm mentally sharp.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go back to your phone and we'll become brighter?
Heck yeah.
Okay. But I need my smartphone.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
They brainwashed you into thinking that.
No, they brainwashed others into thinking that because I use it as a tool. See, it's like I was talking to my mom this morning and we were talking about money.
Uh-huh.
The problem that we have with money in, especially in poverty areas, we think money answers everything, or should I say money cures everything. Money, you know, money makes you happy. Money doesn't make you happy because just because you have money, doesn't bring you happiness.
No.
You've got to be able to take the money that you have, use it as a tool.
Correct.
To get what you need.
Exactly.
But money is not going to make you happy, so you can have a whole lot of money and still be miserable.
Correct.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I've got Dr. Hill in studio with me. We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown for best windows in the world, home replacements. You want to call them at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. We'll be right back.
But that's why I carry this.
Josh, only you would do that. You are sick. And listen, I found that my car has electrical problems. Let us pray. I can't afford a new car. And I don't want a big bill. Don't drive at night.
Do you have a warranty?
No, it's too old. I put 70,000 miles on my car in 2013.
Car Shield.
Okay.
Get Car Shield.
Okay.
And that'll cover you. That's a warranty.
But it won't cover it pre-existing, will it?
You have to wait 25 days before you can use it.
So for the next 25 days, I'm going to ride around in the daytime. But you know what?
Yeah.
I found out. It don't get dark until 9 o'clock now, so I just got a 9 o'clock curfew. Where are you going? Home? Why? I got a curfew. Can't drive at night.
I don't have electricity. They can figure it out.
I'm gonna take it up to Fairway Ford and get them to advertise with us.
Okay, that'll work.
And I need to talk to you before we go. I need to find out what you want.
Okay, but my point is though, still, if you don't know this is going on, does it matter?
Yes, it matters because it affects your quality of life. See, what we're going to do this on when we come back because we're on Facebook Live, but we're not on terrestrial.
You know, those things, a tree falls in a forest.
Does it make a sound?
If no one's there to hear it. You know?
We'll come back.
Okay.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440, brought to you by Window World of Youngstown for replacement windows and for home remodeling. Call them at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. Call the Moran family. Tell them that Tracy and Friends sent you. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. Got Dr. Rodney Hill in studio with me, and he's coming on to be one of our sponsors. Thank you, Dr. Hill. I appreciate that. But you've been with us for a very, very long time. We appreciate that also. In the break, and earlier in the first segment, you asked me, if you don't know, does it bother you?
Correct.
Yes, because what you don't know will hurt you. See, one thing
But the question, my question again is, how relevant is that?
Everything.
Why?
Information is power.
If it is, but is that relevant information?
Yes, it is.
Why?
Because you need to know you're being manipulated. You need to know what you don't know so that you can discern what you need to know.
I agree with that.
And most people don't know.
But how important is any of that?
It's very, very important because
why?
When you look at China.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking at trade.
Uh-huh.
If you don't understand what's going on, I was doing some research this morning on rare earth minerals.
Okay.
I did not know that there was rare earth minerals that is used in cell phones and pills, and it's imported from China, and we have only one rare earth mining company in the country.
I thought some of that came from Africa, too, yes?
It does, but they cannot fulfill the quantity because, remember, Africa and other countries are not as industrialized. See, they have the raw minerals,
mm-hmm.
but the industrialization of the minerals to process them and to get them, to export them, is not always up and going.
Okay.
And because of political either alliances and or differences within a country, America may or may not be doing business with them.
Okay.
So if you're using child labor, we may not be going to your country for exporting of goods.
Really?
That's true. I mean, you've seen that.
How do you think? Where do you think Nike and all those shoes come
from?
That's
what I'm saying. And they've had to move out of those countries because there's been problems because they found.
It's where they made now.
They either change it. I'm just saying. From my understanding, they either change it.
And you believe that?
I'm just saying what they tell me.
And you believe
and
that?
And I'm just saying what they tell me. You either change it.
Uh-huh. Or.
So they tell me that, like, over in some countries, Nike will go in and they will set up a whole system.
Uh-huh.
So working at Nike is like working at the biggest company in America that's the greatest thing in the world.
Okay.
Because they come in and set up a whole new system so they can alleviate all of the inhumane problems of that nation within that company. So if the shoes are done in the Philippines and the Philippines don't have child labor laws, you know that no children are working inside of that Nike plant.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
We know that.
Let me say this again. I only know what they tell me.
Okay.
But again, there's still oversight, or supposed to be.
Thank you. Supposed to be.
But what I'm saying is what you don't know will hurt you. And what's happening in our communities? I was watching a woman this morning on MSNBC, and they were asking her, what does Black America want? And are the Democrats, because remember, most 80% of African Americans that are registered to vote in America, no matter what their socioeconomic status, no matter what their belief, they are registered Democrat.
But how is one person going to answer that question?
You missed my point. So what I'm saying is,
uh-huh.
the problem that I'm having is,
uh-huh.
you've got this woman, and she says, well, Elizabeth Warren is speaking to their needs. She's talking about Medicaid.
But how is one person going to answer that question?
Listen to what I'm saying. They act as though African Americans are monolithic.
Right, and I agree.
In their voting. So let me finish my point.
Okay.
She says, well, Elizabeth Warren is talking about Medicaid.
Okay.
And she's talking about something else. And I'm going, the first word out of her mouth when it came to people of color or African Americans, black people.
They all on Medicaid.
With Medicaid.
Yeah.
So you got a black woman answering a question about what does black people want. And the problem with black people is that they have people that are asking them questions. And the first thing that we say is, give me more poverty. Because Medicaid means I have no money.
But my question again is, first of all, who the heck was this person?
Again, they pick our leaders.
But who was this person and why would she have an answer?
Because MSNBC decided to call her and ask her, would she come and do an interview, do her maker, sit in a chair, and tell me what you think.
Right.
And I'm trying to get there also, but I'm not there to speak on behalf of African Americans. I'm there to speak for African Americans.
Right, once again, why would anyone think there is one answer?
Because we are monolithic. Remember, we don't demand any more than what they've given us. So when she goes, we're not speaking to the needs of African Americans. And the first word out of her mouth is Medicaid. Medicaid is an impoverished program. It's made to keep you in poverty, make you in poverty, and stay in poverty. So because if I can't go anywhere else, I can't get my benefits.
True. That's true. That's true.
So if I go get a job,
you lose your benefits. You lose your benefits. You can get benefits, but the benefits may be more costly than the benefits that you have.
That's correct. And I can't afford another bill with the money that I'm making, but I can stay home and get better medical benefits because I'm broke. And we breed poverty in our own community because of ignorance. We do not understand. Integration killed us.
Now you understand that's not just a black thing.
We understand that, but the face of it is black. And so we need to also understand the proportional African Americans to white Americans, we still are disproportionate. Because for us to only make up 11% of the population, we make up, 30% of the roles?
I don't know.
Or something on that order?
I don't know what the number is.
I'm just saying. So it's like prison. How do you make up only this percent of the population, but you're overwhelmingly at 70% of the population inside of the prison system?
You can't afford a good lawyer.
Again, it goes back to poverty. So right here in the city of Youngstown, I talked about this yesterday. You cannot get a private loan to build a house. So Dr. Hill, you are a physician. Mm-hmm. You make more money than me, I pray.
Pray some more.
If you decided, you know what, I think I'm going to move to Youngstown, and I'm going to buy this plot of land because it's a good price,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to build a house. Unless you're going to pay a lot of cash, the bank's going to tell you, you won't be building it there.
Why?
Because by the time they get done building the home doesn't value the note. So it'll cost you $100,000 to build the home, but the house will only be valued at $70,000 when we get done.
Which is not a smart investment.
So you can't get. So the bank will not invest in that. So you've got to pay the $30,000 difference up front to have the house built so that the bank will not lose.
So is that just a black thing?
No, it's poverty.
Okay.
Again, it goes back to not knowing that people are manipulating you to stay in poverty because as long as I'm feeding you, I control you. It's a new form of slavery. See, he who feeds you, you bow down to.
True. If I pay for your benefits and I dictate when and where and how you'll get those.
So now every program that you have that's a government program, there is no savings plan. There is no IRA. There is no long-term plan. So if you are on benefits and you're getting anything from the government, they make sure that it keeps you at a certain level so that you will always be on the government toll forever.
Well, I would look at it like this. They don't purposely do it, but they make it easy not to go anyplace else.
No, they purposely do it because, remember, the system does not want everybody to be in certain areas of power. And then, as a matter of fact, if I let you out, I will assimilate. Your son is an athlete, and he's going to be a very, very good athlete. And he is very, very intelligent. He's very, very articulate. And so now when he goes to college, he is what I call a mark. And those marks get isolated away from anyone that they do not want to assimilate to him. That's how a lot of our athletes end up with white women. Black folks don't have access. We ain't cheerleaders. We're not on, you know, we ain't in the, what do they call it? What's it called? Gridiron Club or whatever they have in college?
Yeah.
I don't know if they call them
boosters.
The boosters, whatever. They have a athletic.
Yeah, boosters. The boosters.
But the boosters, but whomever they, you know, in college there is a big organization because athletics is big business in college.
For a lot of colleges.
For a lot of colleges.
Yeah.
Most colleges. Title 10?
Not most, a lot of colleges. Not most.
Okay.
But a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
So that athletic program feeds a lot.
Yeah.
And they make sure those boys are taken care of, those boys and girls are taken care of.
Heck yeah, they do.
And they isolate them, and then they have these boosters or whomever they are who raise money, who give the scholarships.
Correct.
So these kids can come.
Correct.
And they isolate those young people so that they can shape them to take them where they want them to go, but not to where they want to go themselves.
Well, no, the smarter ones take advantage of it.
Not taking advantage. They just don't know they're being manipulated.
No,
I'll be right back.
But smarter ones do take advantage of it.
What?
They take advantage of their situation.
They take advantage of the comp. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when you have...
That's being smart.
Okay, let me say it this way.
Sure.
When you go to the box seats at a college campus,
uh-huh.
It's still all white. So you have all black boys. A good majority of black people on
True.
They're playing ball.
Right.
But when you go upstairs and sit in the box, you're still a minority. And the money is in the box. It's not on the ground.
Correct.
So why – and when you become an athlete, you end up in the box, not on the floor. And that's why you have access to your network.
Correct.
And the people who are around you.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it's not when it comes to assimilation of and making sure that you are accessible to people of color. You pull them out. So now, because people are people.
Everybody goes back home. Go back home to visit, but
the conversations. But see, now I'm educated when I go back home.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, but I am no longer in the same place I was at when people who have stayed home.
That's a good thing.
But let me say what I'm saying.
So now you're a role model. So other people aspire to be you, be like you.
Correct. But I have become something else. So I move out of my neighborhood. So see, when I come back home, I only come home to visit.
Right.
I'm not moving back here.
Why would you want to?
Why not come here and have a big house here and sow into your own community that you came out of?
But if the community that you came out of is crap.
And so you just leave it behind. But.
Oh, we just leave it behind, but.
You just leave it behind.
What can you do as one person? Now you can bring others with you.
No, can't take them with you.
Why not?
But you can, because
why can't you?
You
why
can take
you?
Them with you because most of them are not prepared to go.
Does that not give them an incentive?
Pardon me?
Does it not give them an incentive?
No.
Why not?
Because I can't comprehend it.
Why not?
I'm not ready for that.
What do you mean not ready for that?
I can't speak the King's English.
Then you learn.
I can't learn.
Why can't you?
Because I don't know how. My environment does not dictate that I change it, because if I change it, I'll become an outcast.
But,
I'll be right back.
Okay. But if you see
something. Hold on. Hold on.
Not.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. I'm in the studio with Dr. Rodney Hill. I'm Tracy Winbush. We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown, and he and I are having this conversation about going back to your neighborhood.
Correct.
Let me ask this.
Uh-huh.
When we did not have integration, when you went to college, see, in the neighborhood that we were raised up, in, especially in the 70s, 80s, early 80s, it was not uncommon to have engineers and doctors and professional people living in the neighborhood.
True.
And when we got a chance to move out of the neighborhood, we took it.
True.
And we don't come back. We come back for church, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. We will come back for a reunion sometimes until it gets old. But again, association brings upon assimilation. And it's very, very difficult for me to actually come back home, because I've now changed my dialect, I've changed my focus, I've changed my view.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, but now I talk like a white girl.
Okay. Why is talking correctly a bad thing?
Because
why is talking correctly considered talking like a white girl?
Because somebody told somebody told your son if he's educated, he's acting white.
Okay.
And you have pulled your son out of the environment that he feels as though he's going to be inferior because he's educated. Because inside of the inner city, education, they tell you you are inferior to them.
Okay, fine. But okay, so if they say you're inferior to them, you know you're not. So why should you be bothered with the foolishness? You go on about your life and do your thing.
Because we stand on the shoulders of men and women who came back and pulled us out of what we were in.
But if you're not willing to be pulled out.
But it's not willing, it's about leadership. Because let me finish what I'm saying. When you're being maneuvered and manufactured and manipulated.
I'll give you a case in point, okay, right now.
Right.
Okay. If I could tell you how many people come to my door asking for money.
I ask every day.
No. I mean people who I do not know.
Again, it comes from the mindset.
And they get upset.
I have a question for you, Doc. This is my question.
Uh-huh.
They come to you for money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know them.
No, I don't.
They don't even come to you as a physician.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even a. They're not even a patient of yours.
No, they're not.
And they may or may not go to the white doctor and ask them.
Hey, they're not.
So, tell me that they are, and they feel entitled. That you should give it to them.
Right.
Who told them that?
Don't know.
See what I mean? Society tells you that you're supposed to go out and ask for stuff, and they're just supposed to give it to you because you asked for free.
Well, why are they asking me and not others?
Hold on. And then
they don't ask other people.
And they don't have. When's the last time that you got a report back? Outside of United Way gives you an annual report.
Right.
When you invest inside of other organizations, they give you an annual report.
Right.
But these other organizations, when have they given you an annual report to show you the programming
Never.
That they put the dollars to
Never.
And showed you that the results of the money that you gave us
Never.
Produced these?
Never.
Explain that.
Never.
Again, and when I say this, social economic status is of the mind control of what's going on in our society, not just for Black folks, but Black and underserved, Appalachian, inner city, we do not understand the indoctrination of entitlement that we are getting for nothing. So I'm in poverty, and the first thing I'm going to vote for is you because you're going to give me Medicaid. Come on now. So you're going to keep me poor. Master, can I please stay here so I can go to the doctor? Are you kidding me? And they continue to manipulate us because we don't have the information. That's how you go into a school and you come out 12 years later and you cannot speak the King's English. My mother hates when I talk.
Why?
She says because I use broken English.
Really?
Because my mother is a stickler on English. And so I said, Mommy,
English sounds good to me.
Hold on. So I had to speak differently, learn slang, so that I can go into the community. Talk to people so they don't put me out because I talk like a white girl. And it should not be so. But we have educators.
I tell you that.
Hold on, Doc. We have educators in our school district.
Now, I've been.
Hold on. We have people in our school district who are principals, master's degrees. They are administrators. They are superintendents. And their English is abomination. They can't put a sentence together for love nor money. How does that happen? How do you educate our children and you can't speak the King's English?
You don't educate them well.
And that's an abomination. It's abominable. I'm just saying.
But there's nothing wrong with being said you speak proper. That's not a bad thing.
It is in a Black community. You get an education. You shouldn't. You're a doctor. You think you're better than everybody else. And then when you move back in the neighborhood, as my friend said, she said she tried to move back and they moved her out. She said the last straw was when she was ducking bullets in her own neighborhood. But then, going back to what I talked about yesterday, we pay $15 an hour for our patrol people. And they tell them they can't get to the highest amount for 12 years. Really? So I come in at 15 and I can't get to 26 for 12 years?
Wow.
That's insane.
Is that true?
That's very true.
Really?
Could you not? And I will go back to what I said on yesterday. We live in a representative government.
Supposedly.
And nobody's representing you. So let me, case in point with Youngstown City. The patrolmen have a union that's a representative.
Correct.
They have city council people who's a representative.
Correct.
They have a mayor who's a representative.
Okay.
So who was the representative that allowed you to have $15 an hour and take you 10 to 12 years to get to $26? Who was representing you, and how many people were you paying to do it? That's three people, three entities that you actually pay with your dollars, because you pay your union dues, you pay for city council, their salaries, and you pay for the mayor. So who was representing the people, and who was representing the patrolmen?
Looks like nobody.
And did they really know what they were doing? Because at the end, somebody came back and said, say yes, ratify this contract, say yes to it, and we got you. No, you don't have us, and they're loyal to the union. And whoever the union tells me to vote for, I vote for, because I have been manipulated, I have been maligned, and I have been blindsided by the society to keep me where I am. So now I'm working where I'm chasing bullets for $15 an hour, and there are people in the city of Youngstown right now who are the brass, who can make $1,200 a day in overtime.
That's not bad. $200 a day in overtime.
Trust me.
That's not a bad deal.
You come out on Christmas and see what they get.
That's not a bad deal.
And nobody wants to tell the truth about it. And your news media can't get anyone in there, can't get the resources that you need to get so that you can show people what's being done to them without them knowing. And you want to know why your property taxes are going up and your property values are going down? Really?
What you drinking?
Coffee.
Is that like a double mocha espresso?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just fed up. I'm serious, Doc. I love my community. I love people. And I'm tired of people sitting on the sidelines, including the preachers, collecting money from people, saying you're representing people, and you're not representing anybody but yourself. I'm tired of that. I'm not supposed to say that out loud?
No, you're not.
Oh, sorry. Words and opinions expressed by Tracy and friends.
No more caffeine for you. No more caffeine for you. You're cut off. Like at the bar.
Words.
No more drinks. You're cut off.
But it's just coffee. See? Coffee.
See
the pretty cup?
You're cut off.
No, I can't.
You have espresso in there.
No, just coffee.
Triple espresso.
No.
You're cut off.
Doc, I'm just tired. Listen, I believe that we are better than this.
You know, I think it would help if people learn to be independent thinkers.
We can't, because you don't know that you're not thinking. That's what I'm saying. You think you're thinking. You think you're thinking about what you're thinking about. But the problem is, I'm telling you what to think, and you don't know it.
You're not telling me what to think.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, at times we do. And I may not be doing it to you. And we have to be honest about this. We all. Impulse buying, we all do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
At all.
Nope.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
You sure?
Maybe once.
Okay.
It was perfect timing, so I rolled with it.
That's what I'm saying. But we all do.
Every now and then, it's
that's
not
what
a big
deal. It's, again. We all are subject to it.
Yeah, true.
And the stronger you are, the better off you are.
True.
But the people that are not as strong are supposed to have people who are supposed to represent them, so that they can become stronger.
But those who aren't as strong, the people who represent them, understand they're not as strong. So therefore, they know what to do to make sure they stay in office.
The problem is they're being manipulated. You got people. Let's see the Congressional Black Caucus has been manipulating people, and it's not them. They're being manipulated by the manipulator, and they think they're in control and have power, and all they have is a check. See, you got the slave owner, and then you got the slave minions.
Yeah.
And the minions think they got something because they're a minion, but they don't realize they're a slave too.
True.
And in some aspects, we all are, because we are still beholden to the system.
Just like you have the one in the house, one on the field. One in the house think you're better than one on the field, but the one in the house is actually no better than one in the field.
They're all the same.
They are.
And the problem is, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We are being bought and sold every day, and we do not understand it. And this is not a black thing. It's a black and a white thing, because it's all about poverty. So right now, we were looking at in Missouri, they said that there may not be any abortion clinics in the state of Missouri at the end of this week based on a law.
Well, we know which law is this.
Some law that they passed and the Supreme Court upheld it. But this is the issue. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go to a clinic anymore to get an abortion.
Never have.
So guess what?
But you never have.
But they didn't tell us that. So you may not have a clinic, but that doesn't mean that abortions are not going to take place.
True.
So why would we sit there and watch television and jump up and down about clinics?
Because it makes certain people happy.
Again, manipulating people.
Heck yeah. Oh, no,
so
no
you
question.
Got women wearing pink vaginas on the head.
No, no question.
About something that they don't need to do about because nothing's stopping you from having an abortion.
I would even take it to another level. Does that not make an opportunity for an entrepreneur?
Again.
Does it not?
Wait a minute, entrepreneur, just information. Oh, look who shows up. Johnny come lately. He has no voice. Jeff just walked in. Jeff
yeah,
has
he,
no
he
voice.
Has, he has his summer gear on.
He's got his summer gear
white
on.
Shirt,
he walked in.
White shoes.
But I'm just saying, look at the manipulation. Look at that. So they tell me that I can't get an abortion.
No, donuts.
Dr. Hill, come back.
Oh, okay.
Come back.
Okay.
They tell me that you can't have an abortion at a clinic.
Okay. That's not the only place to have an abortion, though. We know that.
You know that. I know that. But they got people all up in a frenzy talking about, oh, my God, they got all these kids with rape and incest, and we're going to kill them, and it's going to die. And are you kidding me? Come on now.
But I would take it a step further. Why is there the excitement over something that you really have no control over?
That's what I'm saying. And they're emotionally charging you for nothing.
Just to get you all hyped up.
Correct. And so you're now going down the street preaching something you have no business preaching about something that you know nothing about.
True.
And so, oh, my God, they can't have abortions in Missouri anymore. That's not what they said. They said there's no more clinics. So abortion mills are no more.
But then again, I say that's an opportunity for someone.
But they're not telling you that. You got to understand, it's not about the opportunity. It's about me controlling you. I'm against abortion. I think that abortion is an abomination under God, and you should have said no before you did the do. If you don't say no before you did the do and a baby shoots out, that's your problem. But then you need to learn from that problem and quit having babies you can't feed. But again, we're conditioned to say more babies, more money. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you? Get your mic. Say, put your mic to you. Turn your mic on. Do you have a voice?
I have somewhat of a voice.
Well, welcome back to Tracy and Friends. It's good to see you.
That's why I didn't come in. It wasn't doing real good, but it's doing better.
You're being quiet.
Not really. I'm supposed to use it, but not. I'm supposed to practice it, you know. No. You don't shut up when you have surgery. You have to keep going.
No. So, Jeffrey.
Yes.
You can't sit here and eat in front of us. You can't do that.
What are you doing here?
Looking at you and Dr. Hill.
Why?
Because I missed you.
You didn't miss us.
Well, he thought I needed help with the show.
Yes.
You were falling down on the job.
I heard this thing.
What?
Said, and I said, no, that's not it. That's not how this all works.
What? They're not maneuvering and manipulating us?
I'm maneuvering and manipulating you daily.
I'm trying to tell you, Jeff, you know, Spectrum has now become enemy number one for Tracy Winbush.
There should be.
They won't give me any news. And if I want to watch the news, I should be able to watch news. And I should not be subjected to two liberal news agencies and
well,
not have.
Can you not get these other devices?
Yeah, for another $70.
Oh, what do you call it, the Fire Stick?
You
whatever.
Missed the point.
Okay. It's not going to be free.
You missed the point.
That. Okay.
Why do I have to pay for information? Right now, you have to pay to go to college. For you, if you go on Amazon and there is a really great book that's really got a lot of information in it, it's going to cost you over a couple hundred dollars. You go to college and you pay – Youngstown State, you may pay $2,000 a semester or a quarter.
Okay.
But your books come to $1,200.
And you'll get 700 of it back, maybe.
Maybe. And then with technology the way it is, we have e-books.
Right.
So you would have thought if I don't have to print the book, the price of the book would come down, right? Wrong.
Of course not.
Do we understand that? So now I'm not a I like reading finance magazines.
Right.
So I read Barron's, I read Wall Street Journal, but I can't afford Financial Times. It's above my pay grade. Why? Because information that you really truly need, you got to pay for. And they keep people in poverty so you don't know.
Keep as many as they can in poverty because they don't know.
But let me say this.
That's a good voting block for them.
That's correct. And
it's a good low-cost labor block.
And so 95% of African Americans, no matter what their financial, no matter what their socioeconomic status, no matter where they are in the world, no matter how they think, when it comes down to voting, they love the Democrat Party. No matter how their religious beliefs fall down, they still have a block. And we want you want to tell me they're not being manipulated and don't know it?
No. They're not manipulated.
Oh, they know it?
They're brainwashed.
That's what it is.
They know. They believe that what's good is bad and what's bad is good.
That's what I said.
Okay, well, that's not manipulation. Manipulation is fooling somebody into that.
They are fooled into it because it's consistent.
But in order to get to being brainwashed, you have to be manipulated to believe such thoughts.
Because they believe this is true.
Correct?
They believe that the masses
is that LBJ signed civil rights, and that means that the Democrats are for the working man, as you hear all the time, the working man. And they
what working man?
To the Republicans that lobbied to have former slaves to own guns through the NRA. NRA lobbied for that. And so that they can own guns to defend themselves against the former slave owner.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ, brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. We'll see you after our break.
What's going on, y'all?
Everything's good. But I still say this here.
What?
It's not as important as you think.
What? Mueller?
Yeah.
The problem is not. It's not important at all. That's the point.
So I'm saying, so there's only a small segment of people who are in tune to this.
You're missing the point. They're not getting anything else.
Everyone else is working.
But they're not getting any information. There are other things going on that they need to know. So let's look at Boardman. Case in point.
Okay.
Yesterday, Boardman was so far underwater. It was a shame. Youngstown was dry as a bone. Sewers was open. Things was going well. But Boardman got all the money. Boardman got all the time. Boardman gets all whatever they need. But Youngstown City can't get a grocery store.
Well,
you know what?
It has to do with income.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Why do you think we don't hold on? Why do you think we don't have a grocery store?
What if we had one? What if we had one? Would people use it?
Depends on what it is. But again,
no.
Every time we have one, they don't use it. Listen, Jeffrey, when you look at bottom dollar, people went, but to the volume as they needed to make a strong profit because the profit margin is so low in grocery, it wasn't worth the expense of doing business in Youngstown.
Bottom dollar built three or four brand new stores.
That's correct.
Okay. That's what they did is they saturated their own market. They should have built two stores, one on the west side and one on the south side, and they would have done better. But that's not the problem. The problem was personnel, people calling off work, and pilfering.
But that was the whole problem, period. But I'm saying they got to say that when we come – because Ryan, I just found out Walmart makes more money on shoplifting than they do almost on sales someday.
Huh? How can you make money on shoplift?
Because Walmart has, you can bail out a Walmart on the shoplift.
Huh? Say it again.
I'll do that on air.
Say that again.
Cujo.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Got Dr. Hill in the studio with me. Jeff walked in. Good to see him. And the break, I was saying, we were talking about grocery stores in Youngstown City and that kind of thing. And in the meantime, Jeffrey, what was I saying? What was I going to tell you when I came back to there? Because I only got 4 minutes.
The stores and why they're not there.
The stores in Youngstown, one, we're breeding poverty. we are breeding poverty in Youngstown, and it's being done subjectively.
So now, you see, there is no grocery store in Youngstown.
There is one on South Avenue. Sparkle is a part of Youngstown.
Okay.
But it's so close to Boardman, it don't count.
Okay, but there's not one in the
no.
part of Youngstown.
No.
Yeah,
well,
two Sparkles. The one Sparkle on Meridian and Canfield is in the city too.
Well, now do you not think that if it would be profitable, someone would put one there?
But you don't have the economic foundation for the build for getting it in. And I was talking about Walmart. That's what it was.
Right.
Walmart has a bailout program. So if you go to Walmart and they catch you stealing, they take you to a room. My understanding is they take you to a room.
That's what happened to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And they have you call someone.
Okay.
And they ban you from the store
okay.
for life.
Who do you call?
You can call anybody that'll bring $500.
Really?
And you can bail out right there.
Really?
So Walmart has their own bailout program.
Wow.
How many people can bring $500 to bail somebody out?
I can't help you. Well, you'd be surprised
what
people
will do. I tell you what, that's what abortion costs.
You'd be surprised.
People find money.
You'd be surprised.
Or $475 to be exact.
You'd be surprised.
People find money.
People come up, you know.
How much money is that?
What?
$1.2 billion people. By $475. That's a number to crunch.
Again.
That's what that is.
But I'm just saying, if Walmart now has come up with a way to make money on shoplifting.
Think if you could channel that money someplace else.
But you can. But they don't want you to because we don't come together with ideas and to be organized to get to where we want to get. Because remember, we breed.
And trust me, there is no payment plan.
We breed poverty. Again, but people listen, people, they don't understand. They want you to be impoverished. They need for you to need them. Remember, the progressive movement is on a socialistic trajectory.
But you see what's happening around the world?
What?
Just voted down the socialist
over in Europe. But again, but America is different because you have this. If you look at the education system, and our kids leave their homes conservative and come back liberal, a lot of them, because they have not indoctrinated their children to become very, very strong independent thinkers. A lot of them. You see where their kids come back more socialistic. They come back more idealistic than they left because they have not made their children aware that there are forces out there trying to change your mindset. And if you don't tell your children ahead of time how and what they should know and what they should learn and the standards, because you're supposed to be teaching my kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. So why are my kids coming home with transgender, bigender, and X-gender?
And you know what? It's funny. That's in, I would probably say that's in all the high schools.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And I mean all of these high
that's
schools.
That's what I'm saying. So how did reading, writing, and arithmetic become LGBTQABC?
When it comes to that, you must uplift that which other people look down upon. And you uplift that, and you cause the people that don't agree with it to look like they're these cads and these terrible people because of it.
Well, listen, I got to go. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ. Tomorrow is Testosterone Thursday, but I think it's just me and Mark. I don't know if Jeff's coming in or not, but I'm Tracy, and I'll be here.
I want you to be here with me. If you want, you can say you're a man tomorrow.
No, I'm not.
You can say that.
That will not happen.
You can say it, though.
I'm not going to say that.
You can say you believe it.
I am not. I got to go. Guys, shut up. I got to go. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ. Did I tell you guys got to shut up so I can get out of here? Shut up. I got to get out. Thank you.
You can't manipulate us.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Josh, thanks.
Oh, man.
You guys got to let me get out my break. I've got to get out. If I got to have clean breaks going out.
Okay.
Please. I will get in serious, serious trouble for not having clean breaks going out.
This is a sign.
I got to go.
Okay.
They are very, very stickler on making sure the breaks are clean.
You still on Facebook Live?
Yes.
Okay.
We are. No, we're on. We're off.
I tell you something funny. Now, when we were traveling to Greensboro.